Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are now on scene with the LEO Sideshow, the one and only podcast that opens the discussions about what police do and why they do it. We are bringing a fresh new look on the relationship between the police and the public. Now for the part in our show where we must give you a legal disclaimer. Spoiler alert, people in the United States sue other people for just about anything. So therefore, the topics being discussed in the LEO Sideshow are merely the opinions of the hosts and their guests. These topics and discussions are in no way intended to be legal advice for your specific area or incident. Please consult with your local attorney or your local district attorney's office or your local police department for your specific laws and ordinances in your jurisdiction.
I'm Frank Gebhardt. I'm joined here with my co-host, Patrick Cortland. Say hi, Patrick.
Hello.
Here we are. So again, we want to say thank you for coming. This is episode one. We plan on doing this every other Thursday. We're going to drop the episodes every Thursday. That way you guys can listen and have something to talk about over the weekend, have something to talk about with your husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend.
Counterpart, whatever it is.
Whatever you may, this is some good discussion topics that you can have. Some housekeeping stuff. So you can look forward to, we're going to try to keep these around 30 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, depending on if we have a guest on and do like an interview. But most of the times we're just going to be talking about current events and breaking it down for everybody.
And for these podcasts, we have a little bit of a structure to them, and we're going to see how you like it. And obviously, if you guys contact us and want to see some different things, we'll see if we can adjust our recording sessions. But Frank, I guess the first thing we're going to talk about is each episode, we're going to have a police word of the day.
Yeah, what is the word of the day today?
Today's word, and I don't know if this is actually an acronym or initialism.
What is the difference between an acronym and an initialism?
I'm not 100% sure.
I'll tell you what it is.
I'm not an English major, but today's word is BOLO. B-O-L-O.
BOLO.
Caps lock for that, so all capital letters. And the question, Frank, is what does it stand for?
Well, I think we need to be on the lookout for okay, that's terrible. I don't have anything good to say about that. Be on the lookout for. That's what it is. So when cops get to a scene and something just happened, we need to put something out quick to the responding officers. So we put a be on the lookout. It's not B-O-T-L-O. It's B-O-L-O. Be on lookout for.
Right. So, and can you give me an example when this would be used?
Okay, let me think here. This is pretty easy. How about a purse snatching?
There you go. We call that a robbery. Okay. Ooh. A robbery. So the thing I understand with a BOLO is when we go and we respond to crimes, which happens a lot, okay, many times it's past the time that the crime actually occurred. But for a BOLO to be effective, okay, usually it's within close proximity to that time. Now, there could be certain situations where you investigate a crime and perhaps a vehicle is involved and you need officers to look for that vehicle or suspect vehicle. You could use a BOLO and provide the description of either the suspect or the vehicle for officers to look for and notify them. And usually what's associated with that BOLO, you're going to have some type of officer safety issue as far as, you know, maybe this person has a report of weapons or what do we need to do with it? Or, you know, use caution when, you know, encountering this individual. But in reality, it's just a way for officers to get specific on looking for some type of person, vehicle, whatever the correlation of crime.
When can a citizen use this? I mean, they're going to be using it too, right?
Well, as far as a BOLO, like
they're calling 911. What are they telling? Like, my car was just stolen.
Well, obviously that they're going to give the description of the car. You know,
yeah. Hopefully, they're putting out a BOLO too.
Hopefully, a plate. And at that point, when they're calling 911, 911's going to give that information to officers and put out a bolo to other officers to be on the lookout bolo for this car.
Yep, yep. Don't think it's just something the police use. You're going to be calling out a bolo when you try to describe what happened.
Just understand that in policing, we use a lot of terms, police jargon, and bolo is one of those. And hopefully, we can get into more police words, jargon, as the sessions continue.
Yeah. Well, how about this? Why don't you follow us on our Instagram and Twitter, and then you can DM us with whatever jargon you want to find or discuss.
Or honestly, if you just have questions, if a lot of times citizens may hear, and when I refer to citizens, I mean the audience, when you refer to a word that you hear or see on the news, or, you know, and you're like, man, I don't really know how that correlates to police work. Well, DM us and maybe we can add it to our episode.
Yeah, you can be like giving us some stuff to talk about. All right. Well, next, kind of like what Patrick says, we're going to try to go over certain things each time in the episode, and we're cutting our teeth here with this first one. So we're done with the police word of the day, the jargon. So now we're going to move into the case study of the week. And we have a really interesting one this time.
We do. It's Kansas versus Glover. This case has been heard, well, it's previously heard by the United States Supreme Court in November 2019, so literally half a month ago, and is a major case concerning what we determine, or the courts will determine, is a reasonable suspicion for officers. So, Frank, can you elaborate on what this case is about?
Yeah, so in police work, things that are in plain view are kind of like fair game for police officers to act upon or put in the report or whatever that is. So, and part of that plain view is your registration plate when you're driving around town. And the courts have ruled that police need no special reasons to run a registration plate of your vehicle. So you can just be driving downtown and the police officer behind you runs your plate for no good reason. They run your plate, and the courts have ruled that that is reasonable and it's okay. Well, the reason why Kansas v. Glover is so important is because as this officer was driving down around town, he runs this license plate and sees that the owner of the vehicle is suspended, has a suspended driver's license. And normally police are supposed to attempt to ID who is actually driving before they make that vehicle stop. So they don't want to just automatically run the registration and pull the vehicle over. They're supposed to find out if the owner is a male or female. Is the driver male or female? Possibly an age, so that the officer can build a case on why he's pulling this person over. Well, in Kansas v. Glover, the officer never did any of that and just pulled the vehicle over based on the sole fact that the owner had a suspended driver's license. And the case kind of evolved from there, but the point in contention is, did the officer have the right to pull over the vehicle without any other information other than the owner of the vehicle was suspended?
And my initial reaction to this, and I know we've discussed this personally, Frank, is that when we pull over a car, usually we're making some sort of effort to, even if we have familiarity or we get information provided just from running a registration plate, that we'll try to actually identify the driver using some sort of law enforcement database or information provided. But in this situation, the officer didn't really make any effort, okay, and just got the information provided from the owner's driver's license information. And when I first heard about this, I said, well, you know, maybe that officer was, I mean, obviously we don't know the situation or the background or the details to it. And I thought, maybe this officer could have done more. But you brought up a good point, and which was brought forth by the prosecution in this case, was that how many times, if you're the owner of a vehicle, is someone else driving your vehicle? Now, for me, literally it's 99% of the time, it's either me or my wife.
Same here.
Yeah. So now, obviously, that's not the case for everyone. You know, when you have older kids, they may be driving and stuff like that too. But in reality, if you really think about it, if you are the owner of a vehicle, how many people are consistently driving that car?
Well, even if you say, I have my spouse might be driving my car and it possibly could be my, you know, 17-year-old son or daughter. So if you're breaking those down into percentages, if it's just you, your wife, or your husband and your kid, you're talking there's a 33% chance of you being the owner being the driver. And like, so our standard for pulling somebody over has to be reasonable suspicion. Well, what percentage is reasonable suspicion? What percentage are you putting on reasonable suspicion? I mean, there really is no good percentage for that, but it's less than 50%.
Yeah.
Based upon some of that stuff.
Understand for the audience, and this is kind of a misconception when we interact with citizens on the job too, is if I know who you are and I know you do not have a valid license and I see you driving, okay, that is probable cause to pull the vehicle over. Okay. Understand that. If you are driving a vehicle and you don't have a license, either you just never had a license or your license is suspended, that gives me, the officer, a reason to pull your car over. Because
yeah, but what if they're not doing anything wrong? What if they've been using their turn signal, stopping at stop signs?
But again, that doesn't matter because we get that. And when we've many a time stopped people who we know, because, you know, we're veteran law enforcement officers, we interact with, unfortunately, some of the same people day in and day out, and we know they don't have a driver's license. We can stop them and, you know, deal with it or issue a citation or whatever it is, because we know who they are and we know they don't have a driver's license. It doesn't matter if that in and of itself is a violation. So you don't need a, what we call a primary reason or primary violation for the stop. Coming back to this case, is it good enough that the owner's driver's license information is suspended? Is that good enough reason to stop a vehicle? And that's the only information you're provided.
Right. And the Supreme Court of the United States does not take every case that comes up into contention within the state. So they realize that this is a major case and it could change the way police do business. So they took up the case and we expect to hear something back from the Supreme Court, probably what, within the first 5 months of 2020?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for Kansas v. Glover. All right. So now let's get into the meat here, the steak. You know, we were just dealing with the peas. Let's deal with the steak here. But let's get into this. So today's episode, the phantom reason, the reason why we call it the phantom reason is because we're going to be looking at a case technically about 3.5 years old. It came about in April 16th of 2016 in a police department, Taylor Police Department in Michigan, which is right outside Detroit? Am I right?
I think you did a research and mentioned that before, but yeah. I'm not 100% sure.
So we're going to be talking about this incident. And the reason why we're bringing it up now in late 2019 is because it went viral. The video of it went viral over the summer of 2019. It's got a couple hundred thousand hits. And it brought a lot of, opinions.
Notoriety would not be the word, because it'd be negative notoriety towards, you know, again, this concept of, you know, bad police work. So,
yeah. So do you want to go step by step through this thing and we'll try to bring up and have you have some best practices or whatever through this whole,
Sure. So the research we using in, if you want to look up the video, it's on YouTube. It is from April 16, 2016, as Frank, you already mentioned, but it is involving a Calvin Jones, a 26-year-old African-American man pulled over by Taylor police officer C. period Vines. So you can just YouTube, I would assume, Taylor Police Department traffic stop.
Yeah. And you know what? We're going to have the link to it in our show notes. So if you can't find it, then just go below in our show notes and you can find it there. We'll also have a link to all this on our social media feeds with, again, links and stuff like that. But type in something in Google or YouTube and you'll be able to find it pretty easy.
So the both of us have reviewed this video multiple times, and we've also been afforded access to, as well as public access to, the ACLU, which is the American Civil Liberties Union, response to this traffic stop. And we're going to reference this a little bit when we kind of go step by step in the process. But anyway, looks like, just from viewing the video, I don't know the exact time of traffic stop, but it appeared that it was daylight in Taylor, Michigan. And Officer Vines initiates a traffic stop of the driver, motorist Calvin Jones, on April 16, 2016, near Park Village Boulevard in Taylor, Michigan. Okay. And you could see that, you know, driver pulls over almost immediately. It didn't really go that fast. We don't initially know the reason for the stop until you kind of dig a little more. But when it's pulled over, the officer approaches Mr. Jones. So Officer Vines approaches Mr. Jones and requests his identification. He says, you know, hey, you know, how you doing? I need to see your ID, registration, insurance. And that was probably at the last point that the conversation was not adversarial. Would you say that, Frank?
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, officer pulls up. We do find out later on that Officer Vines says that they committed a stop sign violation. But yeah, the officer walks up. Hey, how you doing? You know, occupant, the driver says, you know, all right. And says, can I have your license and registration? Yep. Or actually, he says license and registration. And the first thing out of the driver's mouth is, what are you pulling me over for?
Why do you need to see my ID? Okay.
Right.
At which point then, Officer Vine says, you know, basically gets into, I need to see your ID. So there's some conversation back and forth, you know, driver, Mr. Jones.
Well, they're stuck in this loop.
Yes.
You know, Jones is saying, hey, I'll gladly give you my ID, but I want you to tell me why you pulled me over. And then the officer, again, stuck in this loop, says, I'll be glad to tell you why I pulled you over, but before I do that, I want to know who I'm talking to. So they're back in they're stuck in this loop of, and there's no way out at this point.
That's probably a good pause point for discussion at this point, as far as where we're at. So,
why don't you take the stance of the citizen, Mr. Jones, and I'll take the stance of the officer. So why would you not want to give me your ID at this point?
Because I have no idea why I'm pulled over. I don't know why I'm dealing with the police at this point. Okay.
Okay. And I'm telling you that, listen, I'm a uniformed police officer. I have my lights and sirens on. You know, I'm telling you that you're under investigation for a traffic offense. So you must give me your information because I'm conducting an investigation right now.
But officer, I have no idea why I was pulled over. Why are you stopping me?
Because you're the person who committed the violation. So, you know, we're stuck in this thing, but in my mind as the officer, and I don't do business like this on the street, and neither do you, Patrick, but the officer in this video, Officer Vines, you know, he took the stance of, I want to know who I'm talking to. And he dug his feet into the ground at this point and said, I am not going to go forward with this until you provide some type of identification.
So
now, what would be a good reason for an officer to dig his feet into the ground and say, I want to know your identification? Is there a good reason?
There is. Okay. So for instance, you may know who this person is driving. Okay. And you may know that he or she may be dangerous or may have an active warrant for their arrest. Okay. You don't know if they know that, but you know that as the officer. So in that situation, there may be a time where, you know, your backup may not be on scene at that point. You know, hopefully you're calling for backup, you're doing a warrant arrest out of a traffic stop, but you may want to ease this person's mind and say, you know what? Hey, I'm just stopping you because your brake light's out. We're going to deal with it. And, you know,
so you're saying the officer can lie to him?
That is absolutely correct. The officer can lie. Okay. But
lie
for the reason of protecting the officer's safety and, you know, not just jumping into a situation by him or herself and trying to possibly arrest a violent offender.
So this, I guarantee you, this is going to be a point that people pick up on. And you're saying that officers can lie, but to be completely clear and so that nobody gets confused on this, this officer, they call it like a ruse. Is that right? Is that the right word for this? Maybe that should have been our word of the day. Yeah, a ruse. Okay, it's like a fake out, a psych kind of thing. Okay, so the officer is not going to go back to their police department and write up some fake report and lie, because that would be that'd be ethically and morally and probably departmentally and just all just wrong in every way possible.
Frank, just say wrong. That'd be just
wrong.
Right. Okay? We don't do that.
But what I think you're trying to say is you can have this ruse of I'm only pulling you over for this brake light, when in reality, you don't want to say, because you're being investigated for an armed robbery that just happened down the street, because you know that if you say, yes, you're the person who just robbed the 7-Eleven,
yeah,
then it's going to possibly become very adversarial. The person could flee. He could fight. So there's a reason, and it's few and far between where police officers do this, and it's only for those reasons. It's not at all to make a fake report or anything like that.
Now, playing the citizen, circling back, at some point, the officer, and hopefully with backup in that situation, is going to have to come to the crux of the issue, which is, hey, I want to deal with this guy because he's a suspect in either a felony or any type of crime, even a misdemeanor. And
right,
we're going to have to deal with it at some point. So,
it's in essence, it's a delay tactic.
Correct.
So that you can probably get, people there to help you out.
But, right.
All right. So let's go back to this. So we're stuck in this loop. Now, let's go with the citizen standpoint. Where are you looking at of why do you have to provide your ID?
Okay. Well, most citizens don't understand. And again, when we're under citizens, we mean the public. You know, we're taking the standpoint of we're officers, you know, so when we're not saying citizens, because that's how we deal with people on the street. Citizen Jones, come talk to me. But what we're talking about is we're trying to differentiate between the officer's viewpoint and the motorist viewpoint. Okay. So in this situation, the motorist, Mr. Jones, is wondering, you know, why did they stop me? You know, I'm African-American male. Is this cop racist? Why do I need to provide my ID? You know, we can go down these whole issues that may be transpiring through Mr. Jones' head.
Well, you have no idea what Mr. Jones's background is. I mean, he very well could have been involved in bad police contacts in the past. He may have friends who have had bad contacts or family. He could be watching the news where he is, you know, maybe he legitimately is afraid of his security, of his life and everything. And that's something that police officers need to be aware of, even though, you know, 99% of the police officers are good police officers day in and day out. You know, some people who watch the news and only get certain information really do have this fear of police officers, and people need to realize that. So my stance is, and I'm sure yours is too, why didn't Officer Vines just tell him the reason why he pulled him over? Well,
that's a good question.
We found out that it wasn't because Mr. Jones was wanted. He wasn't armed and, he had no reason to believe he was armed and dangerous. He didn't just commit a robbery. It was legitimately for a traffic violation.
Right. So then, Frank, so let's take the officer standpoint at this point, and I know we're kind of circling back around, but was Mr. Jones required to identify himself?
Absolutely.
Okay. And why is that?
Because we're conducting an investigation. This officer is conducting an investigation.
And I actually believe he did mention investigatory detention or something along those lines. You can actually hear that on the video.
Yeah, and actually Mr. Jones was like, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah. So in layman's terms, you're the subject of a possible you're possibly the subject of a violation of law, which is not really possibly, because if there's a traffic violation and you're driving the car, obviously you're the one that committed the violation. Now, you can argue whether or not it was a legitimate stop as far as the violation, but that is something that we don't deal with right now.
Yeah,
that is something
for the court. Yeah, and we can talk about investigatory tensions and stuff. That, I mean, we could talk about that for another 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, or hours or days. But yeah.
Well, so after the officer says, hey, you're required by law, which, you know, the ACLU absolutely says, you know, the driver of the vehicle is required by law to provide that information. Mr. Jones says, I'm invoking my right. I don't have to say anything. You know, I'm just going to be here and be quiet.
Which he has no Fifth Amendment. Okay, if you're familiar with the Fifth Amendment, he has no Fifth Amendment right to remain silent, as he needs is required by law.
What do you mean? You know, I've watched all these TV shows right. say, "Yeah, I had the right to remain right. silent. I'm just going to remain silent." So, right. what do you mean? Why not?
So, people have to understand Miranda, okay? Because in shows and news and all that kind of stuff, Miranda is a requirement. But only for two things. And that is, number one, if the person is in custody, or in layman's terms, in custody, not free to leave. Okay. So they don't have to be officially under arrest, but they're not free to leave. And B, you're asking incriminating questions. Okay. So for instance, I am advising Frank here that I stopped him for a stop sign violation. Okay. I am requesting his driver's license, registration, proof of insurance. Are those incriminating questions?
No.
Exactly. I'm just trying to identify. It has nothing
to do with your case.
Right. It has nothing to do. He doesn't have to tell me whether or not he agrees that he blew the stop sign. Okay. But he is required by law to identify himself. And he is required by law to provide his driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance. And while we may or may not be familiar with the Michigan, you know, statutory laws and all that kind of stuff, it's pretty much across the board that when stopped for a violation, you are required by law to provide your driver's license, registration, proof of insurance. And if you don't have your driver's license with you, usually that is a violation in and of itself, but you are still required to identify yourself. So, you know, Officer Vines would then, okay, if you don't have your ID or driver's license with you, what's your name, date of birth, address, social, yada, yada, yada.
Right. So at this point, there is no Fifth Amendment concerns. We are not asking Mr. Jones why he ran the stop sign. We're not in there. All we want to know is, all the officer wants to know is his ID. Okay.
So moving along, the situation continues to escalate. Okay. With this back and forth adversarial verbiage between the two, because, you know, in reality, it appears that both of them probably have egos. Okay.
Oh yeah. Well, they're both stuck in the sand, or right. you know, they're both.
And, Officer Vines is still not telling the guy why he stopped him. And then Mr. Jones, the motorist, is still not providing his ID. So at some point you can hear Officer Vines call for backup, which in this situation you're dealing with uncooperative subject. We're not going to place blame on that at all. I'd probably call for backup too if I'm dealing with somebody who's uncooperative. Okay. It's then we get to the next set of steps where we're kind of like, is that really the right approach? And what happens then, Frank?
So he ends up getting irritated. The officer gets irritated and starts saying some dumb stuff, in my opinion. Hey, well, just wait till a backup comes here. You're going right. to jail. You
right.
know, okay, it's not really again, appropriate.
Working on his ego.
Right. Yep. You know, and a lot of us, you know, we say that you shouldn't be hiding behind your badge. The badge does not make you anything special. You're supposed to enforce the law, be there for the citizens, and, you know, keep people safe and all that stuff. You, by saying that you're going to jail and threatening, and that's uncalled for. So he's in there, they're in this verbal back and forth. The backup arrives and things just go downhill. So Officer Vines, instead of saying unlock the door, open the door, anything like that, Officer Vines just, I've never even seen this before, where he just pulls on the window until it breaks, and he falls on his butt, and there's glass all over the ground, and it's just
maybe I'll have a lifting session that morning. I don't know what happened there, but
yeah, geez.
Anyway, regardless, it breaks the window. They struggle to get the motorist Jones out of the car. It looks like just bad imagery all around, and they end up finally getting, you know, Officer Jones, or I'm sorry, the motorist, Mr. Jones, out of the car and take him to the ground, and they end up handcuffing him and taking him into custody. Which,
yeah, well, actually, there's two other people in the car. We didn't even mention this yet. That there's two other people in the car. In the front passenger seat, you have, we assume, Mr. Jones' girlfriend, wife, or just, you know, friend.
It's according to the ACLU, it's his wife, and in the back was his younger brother.
Okay, all right. So we have two other people in the car who are probably thinking, what in the heck is going on? And through the video, they end up getting placed at least under, whether it's under arrest or
detained or whatever. Detained.
Yeah. I mean, they're put in cuffs, and Officer Vines, who, you know, he's amped up, he's mad, you know, and again, his ego, which he shouldn't be allowing get in the way of his police work. His ego is making him do some crazy things. At one point he takes Mr. Jones' wife's phone and just throws it across the street. And like, again, what the heck is going on? So again, it kind of spiraled out of control there.
In reality, I think she was video recording the incident from her phone, and that's what transpired the issue with her. And she ended up getting arrested, I guess, according to the ACLU, because she refused to turn over the phone or something like that. But, you know, how many times are we recorded by citizens in their phones?
All the time.
Yeah. So are we really going to take her phone and charge her because she's refusing to hand it over? No.
You know why? Because we're recording too.
Yes.
You know, we work at a agency that we have body cameras. So we're recording too. I don't care if 100 people record what I'm doing. And, you know, that goes back to because I'm doing stuff right.
Yeah. Now, the only thing you have to worry about then is when people upload it to social media and only provide snippets of the video without the full picture. Yeah. So we do have to be cognizant of that. And that actually happens a lot when people try to, you know, target the police, sue the police and all that. And you find out later on that that's not really the whole picture. That's only a snippet of what happened. So anyway, so getting back to this, kind of summarizing this whole, this was a mess. ACLU got involved. I'm assuming the department got sued. Do you know what happened to Officer Vines?
No, the last thing that I could find was that the ACLU asked for a Freedom of Information Act, and, you know, they sent a letter to the chief saying, you know, what probably could have been done to avoid the situation. But
regardless, in summary, okay, while we're giving you this video, and we do ask you to go follow the link or YouTube it yourself. Again, Taylor Police Department, Officer Vines, Calvin Jones, the motorist, traffic stop from April 16th, 2016. This could have probably all been avoided. Okay. The first thing that we always do when we conduct a traffic stop, or at least I do, and I know Frank does, is we tell him right away the reason why we pulled him. You know, such and such, you know, I'm Officer Patrick. I stopped you because you rolled through that stop sign back there. Do you have your driver's license, registration, proof of insurance? We put them at ease by letting them know that, hey, there's a reason why the police are interacting with you as a motorist, and there's a reason why we're conducting a traffic stop. More than likely, it's a violation of some sort of traffic law. So this puts the motorist driver at ease, hopefully, and lets them know that, well, there's a reason that you're interacting with the police. You may not like that, but there's a legal obligation for you to then provide identification. And in the back of your mind, there would be a reason why, you know, you may be put at ease. So, Frank, would you like me to discuss the scenario with Timothy McVeigh, or do you want to go into that?
Yeah, I mean, we can do it quickly.
I know we're kind of trying to wrap up time. But,
right. But before you go into that, like you were saying, hey, my name is Officer Patrick Cortland. I'm with this police department. The reason why I pulled you over is for that stop sign back there. Now, as the motorist, if I disagree with the reason why you pulled me over, this is exactly why in the United States we have this justice system set up to where I can go in front of a judge, an impartial party, and explain why the officer is wrong and explain why I did not do what they said I did or why I should not be found guilty. That is the route that citizens should take. And yes, they're mad because they got pulled over. And yes, they're mad because they got a citation. But
again,
but we have a route to take right. to make your
yeah, it's called get some satisfaction. Plead not guilty. That's all it is to it.
Plead not guilty.
I don't care. I don't care if you plead guilty or not guilty. That's your legal right. You know, I'm not offended either way. I'm just telling you the reason why I stopped you. Okay. Again, you may or may not be getting a citation at this point. That's up to the officer. And that's why we have this big thing called discretion. And that, hey, that could be another word of the day we can talk about. But anyway, we have citation. You know, you can give a warning, a written warning, you give a verbal warning, yada, yada, yada. Okay. But regardless, you as the motorist citizen have to provide some sort of identification. And if you lie, okay, we're getting going to a whole nother issue, but there is a charge for that, where you lied to the police and you were committing a violation of law. But in this situation, this could have all been avoided by two individuals who seem to have egos for some reason or another. The officer could have just said, you know, sir, I stopped you because you rolled through that stop sign. Okay. You know, the person can,
that's it.
Yeah.
He could have been done.
Would Mr. Jones probably have liked that? No. Would he have been uncooperative still? Probably not. But at some point, you can actually hear in the video his wife mentioned to Mr. Jones that he needs to provide ID. So his wife's even acknowledging the fact that Mr. Jones needs to provide ID. Okay. So wrapping this up, when this comes into play is if you're not familiar, and I don't know all of the circumstances behind it, but I do am familiar with, for those of you in remember that, the Oklahoma City bombing, where they were looking for Timothy McVeigh. He was actually, wasn't he executed a couple years ago?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, but he was end up determined he was a suspect for that Oklahoma City bombing. And I forget the state this was in, but I don't know if it was Oklahoma or somewhere else, but he was apprehended during a traffic stop. Okay. I believe the highway patrol or trooper or officer, whoever, ended up stopping his vehicle and, you know, looked like he was physically fit, had a nice uniform, but immediately advised Mr. Timothy McVeigh that the reason why this officer is interacting with him is because McVeigh was speeding. Okay. So, and I believe they interviewed McVeigh later on and they asked Timothy McVeigh why he didn't, you know, try to harm the officer at that point, trooper. And he said, well, I didn't know that he knew that I committed this violation. He just told me that I was speeding. So in the back of his mind, Timothy McVeigh was thinking, well, I was just speeding, so there's nothing going to come of it, which comes back full circle to what we were talking about. It helps put the motorists at ease when we advise them the reason for the stop. Okay. So in this situation, blame can be assessed to both parties. I mean, look, we're two officers. We're assessing blame to the cop here. Okay. The cop should have more than likely just told him why stop them. All right. Puts the motorist at ease. But also on the other side, you know, Mr. Jones has a legal obligation to identify himself and provide identification, which in reality, if he did that, and even though the cop had too much of an ego, this could have also been avoided too. He just would have provided identification and moved on. So, I mean, right. We don't know that, but that's where we're coming at. So,
yeah. I mean, kind of both of them have some blame in this and both of them could have reacted differently and the outcome most likely would have been completely different. And there would have been no video, a viral video of this traffic stop. There would have probably been no civil action between the Mr. Jones and Taylor Police Department. I mean, all of it could have been avoided just because people's egos. And sometimes it comes down to the knowledge of laws in your area. So kind of like what Patrick and I have been talking about this whole time is knowing the laws. And that's kind of what we're going here with the LEO sideshow. And, you know, whatever we are discussing, we're going to try to cater this to kind of educate yourself, know the laws in your state, know the laws in your local municipality. And that way you can talk intelligently and know what you're doing.
But in reality, just like any other scenario, we use the phrase common sense. In this situation, common sense is, hey, let the motorist know why you stopped them, and motorists need to provide ID. It's common sense. It's, you know, interacting. If I interact with a police officer, you know, and there's a reason why they're dealing with me, yeah, I have to identify myself. Common sense practice. So, I mean, that's it for the discussion as far as this traffic stop. I hope you, and we're wrapping up here. I really hope you enjoyed our first episode. We'd like to thank you for listening. The Phantom Reason. Click subscribe, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to get those handles up and ready to rock and roll. And DM us questions, comments, anything you want to hear. Again, we already discussed, you know, the police word of the day. If you have questions about words that we can discuss and maybe clarify, we're doing that. Again, we're two city police officers, and, you know, we're just providing our observations and our opinions. So anything else there, Frank?
No, I think we're also talking about doing some type of mailbag or questions and comments section. So even whatever jogs your memory or whatever makes something that was discussed through this episode, go ahead and DM us and we'll include it, whether it was, you know, we can include it in a case that would be interesting to discuss, whether it be a word of the day. I mean, anything, just go ahead and get a hold of us. We'll include it.
All right. And that about wraps it up.
All right.
Thanks again.
Thanks for being here. Yeah.
Yeah.